In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Christ is in our midst. Just wanted to read a few, start off with by reading a few quotes. This quote is by a famous person who says, "Mary is the highest woman, that we can never honor her enough. The veneration of Mary is inscribed in the very depths of the human heart, and that Christians should wish that everyone know and respect her." Here's a second quote. "It cannot be denied that God, in choosing and destining Mary to be the mother of his Son, granted her the highest honor." A third quote. "I esteem immensely the mother of God, and the more honor and love of Christ increases among men, so much the esteem and honor given to Mary should grow." Finally, "It seems to me impossible that we should obtain the reward in heaven without the help of Mary. There is no sex, nor age, nor rank, or position of anyone in the whole human race which has no need to call for the help of the Holy Virgin." What's unique about these particular quotes is the first one is from the reformer Martin Luther. The second one was from John Calvin. The third one was from the more radical reformer Zwingli. And the fourth quote was from Wycliffe, who was a pre-Lutheran reformer of the Catholic Church. So we see that amongst Protestant Christians, early Protestants, who were reforming and moving away from the Roman Catholic Church, that there was a strong honoring and a veneration of Mary, the Mother of God, the Virgin Mary. In our day and age, we've definitely moved away from that within modern Christianity. Most people do not honor, most Christians I know, did not honor the Mother of God and were rather skeptical about it. They felt like it was worshiping her or it was problematic. Some of the quotes that you might hear is that it could have been any woman that gave birth to Jesus. I remember a family member saying, "God could have even chosen a harlot to give birth to Jesus, because that's how powerful God is. He can do whatever he wants." But in the tradition of the church and in our life experience, there's always been a veneration and an honoring of the Theotokos. This week we celebrate the Feast of Dormition, the feast of her falling asleep in the Lord and then her eventual assumption into the kingdom of heaven. And this feast dates from around the 500s. And there's that when I say it dates from there, I mean that there is written evidence that it existed then. It may have existed before that. But there's much less talk about Mary in the early church. In the early church, it's not that it's not she's not mentioned. The word of Theotokos comes from the 150s. We see this in writings. But it isn't until the heresy of Nestorianism that there becomes that Mary becomes a banner of Orthodox Christianity, or Mary becomes a symbol of true faith and true teaching. Before that, to much extent, the veneration of Mary is taken for granted. It's just something Christians do. After Nestorius, who says that Mary should not be called the Theotokos, but is more properly called the Christotokos, because he didn't believe that she gave birth to the second person of the Holy Trinity. And this is can get very theologically nuanced from here on out. But after the council in Ephesus, when the church condemned Nestorius and said indeed it was truly right to say that she was the mother or the God-bearer, that Jesus Christ was fully man and fully God, and that she, in giving birth to his humanity, also didn't give birth to his pre-eternal divinity, but gave birth to the divine human son, this is when Mary becomes so much more of a flag of the church. She becomes a symbol. And so, very commonly, within Orthodox countries, there is a strong veneration. When I went to Thessaloniki, the Mother of God, it's not an issue. It's only in our culture. It is only in our culture that people really struggle with this idea that we should pay honor to who honor is due. And this isn't just something that is for the church with honoring Mary. This is also just regular everyday life. You know, our culture is very iconoclastic, not in the sense that they break icons, but in the sense that our whole philosophical system is meant to tear down the past and to be ever reinventing itself philosophically. We no longer, at many levels, honor our elders. The elders amongst us who were held in such high esteem just a few generations ago are shuffled away now. We do not often honor, and I've noticed this, whether it be in the church or whether it be in other in government, we do not necessarily honor people the way that people used to be honored for the work that they did, for the how they invested their lives in the military or in college or in various other aspects. And this is given way to for informality. You know, not only with Jesus in the sense that he is our buddy and our friend and our pal, but also the informality of just everyday people, where in general we have torn down the formal structures and have erected in place a structure that is very casual. Very, very casual. So it's not just that we've lost honor in the U.S., say, or in American Christianity for the Virgin Mary. It's also that in general we've become a very casual culture. Now, if you were raised in the Orthodox Church, you probably this doesn't affect you as much. Your natural affinity, if you've been raised around the Theotokos, the Panagia, then chances are it's just natural. But for converts like myself, it took years for me to come to the place where I would ask for a prayer from the Mother of God. It took years for me to have this idea that I should even involve anybody in my spiritual life outside of Jesus Christ. That there were other people, supportive structures within the Christian faith and loving personalities that cared about my salvation, such as the Mother of God and the saints. And it was in seminary when I started to begin to change, but on a personal level. And then personally for you, there was a book I had read on Orthodox prayer. And in the particular book, one of the monks said that one of the ways that he got to know the saints was he would pick a particular saint of the day and he would ask for their intercessions. And then he would see what happened. And in this way, he developed a strong relationship with various saints because he experienced them praying for him. He experienced them helping them along in his journey. This is exactly what I decided to do. And from there, developed a sort of warmth that the Mother of God, we these last 2 weeks have been doing the Paracelsus service. The service is called the supplicatory canon for any type of spiritual need. And initially when I got here, when I was going through all the stresses of transition and just being a new priest, this is a service that we would come and do, and we would always walk away with a sense of peace. We'd always walk away with a sense that we were being prayed for and that God was ordering our life. And so this isn't something that is aloof from our day-to-day spirituality. The challenge for converts or those who come from our culture is to somehow grow fond for the lives of the saints and to grow fond for the Virgin Mary because they gird us with strength, because they're such a part of our church and a part of our own salvation. And they're a part of what teaches us how to honor not only the saints but our elders and to be honorable people. You know, the scriptures don't tell us simply to honor Mary. They also say that we should esteem one another better than ourselves. That when you look around this room, you should look up to the people around you, regardless of your stature. That is the Christian ideal. And so this is why also we venerate Mary, the Theotokos, because in so many ways she is the ideal of the Christian life. You've heard me say it before, but maybe I'll say it again. She was prophesied in the Old Testament, both in Ezekiel and Isaiah. We can add to that she undid the disobedience of Eve by her obedience. That she was the first in all things in our salvation, which is what we'll be even celebrating this Tuesday, which is she's the first to die in Christ and to be raised in her bodily flesh to the kingdom of heaven. So as you proceed on in your lives, and you have to, you know, I wanted to read these quotes and get you familiar with this idea that it is only really in the last 150 to 200 years that anybody has even questioned the idea that the Theotokos, that the Panagia, that the Mother of God should be venerated, that she should be paid honor as God's mother, as Jesus' mother. And so if it's unnatural for you, the only way to get around that is to begin to practice, to ask for her intercessions. May she pray for us this week, and may she continue to have this community in her prayers. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Christ is in our midst.